You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Hulk Hogan, we got it for you.
Welcome one and all wrestling fans around the globe. It's Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling news and commentary. I am Aljon Goh, your host, lifelong wrestling fan, and you can't teach that.
Word.
Always joined by my heel commentator. He has the glove of injustice. He's going to tell it like it is, shooting from the hip. Our heel commentator and wrestling historian, Stephen Anthony, and you can't teach that.
more over than any heel on TNA.
Wow. Quite possibly. We have a huge show for you. We started the week off with Sunday night's payback, moving into Monday Night Raw. We were talking to each other. We got to get a show up. Unstoppable from NXT comes up. And of course, at the end of the news cycle day, Stephen Anthony sends me a text and says, ding dong, TNA might be dead in the water. What does it all mean? Let's break it all down for you because it's been a huge week in professional wrestling. And now it's time for the news.
This week in wrestling news.
Anthony, let's start off first with what is grabbing headlines worldwide. Could it be the death of TNA wrestling as we know it?
Well, let me ask you a trivia question. How many people have paid admission in 2015 to watch TNA in America? It's an easy answer.
How many?
Zero.
That's what I thought. I wasn't going to say anything, but go ahead.
Okay, so let's say you have a TV deal and then you lose it. Let's say you have another TV deal and they put you on 58 hours a week, and then about a month later they got you on barely at all. They move your night. And they say you're going to be dropped from your contract, which is going to end in September. And you don't have house shows, except for the United Kingdom, where you do pretty good. What are they going to do? Who's going to get somebody? They've been dropped from Destination America. That's the big news. Now, they have shows in the can, which are also screwed up because they've changed the taping night. So, I'm sorry, they changed the date that they're played. So, the shows that were taped, for example, Slammiversary is coming up in 9 days. Now would be 11 days. Things like that are going on. This might be the end, Aljon. Where can they go from here? They purposely picked a very small station. A station I, quite frankly, did not know much about at all or had not heard about. Because they thought they'll embrace us with loving arms to bring up their ratings. Ratings are ratings, but TV ad space is TV ad space. Wrestling doesn't get a lot of advertisers, so you need to almost double the rating of a normal show. And for a show that did 1.5 to 1.1 million viewers to go down to about 350,000, this show is in big trouble. As a whole, not just the TV show. The TV show will end sometime in September. Who knows when it'll be on by then? It might be on Tuesday night at midnight, for all we know. You know, but they're in trouble. You know, and it's not looking good at all. You know, Dixie Carter has been doing damage control with his podcast she did the other day with Steve Austin, things like that. And
they're promoting that pretty heavily.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, because it looks like Steve Austin has some involvement with TNA, which is beyond ludicrous at this point.
Austin has no involvement other than the fact that he's trying to get good guests. And I will say this, there are more people listening to Austin's podcast than watching TNA wrestling at this time, at least according to the ratings.
Well, 350,000 is what you get. I don't know how many podcast downloads or plays or Steve Austin is getting on that or YouTube combined. I'm assuming it's over 300,000. It's probably toward a million. Yeah, he's higher. Yeah. So what do you think, Al John? Is our beloved TNA, we're Nashville boys. What is happening?
That's right. You know, I would like to think that I'd like to think that TNA has a chance.
Me too.
And there's a lot of things that can happen between now and September, which is the date apparently that we'll be running the last Destination America TNA Impact show, which is, you know, the month of September. A lot of things can happen between now and then. But I believe that TNA, as much as I want them to survive, they did a couple critical mistakes, as you said. I think one was partnering up with Destination America.
Yeah.
You know, but Dixie in her podcast with Stone Cold had said that, you know, they've been good partners. Well, she said it then. She may be reevaluating it now, especially since they've been moving the dates and times of the shows, which makes absolutely no sense. And according to the conversation you and I had and what has been said through, you know, through the internet, through really credible sources, is the fact that nobody watches Memorial Day programming.
Okay.
Hence, we're going to put Slammiversary 2014 on.
Cute.
Yeah, that's good. So you are trying to get every rating you can possibly get, whether it's live viewership or plus three DVR ratings. How is running a 2014 special going to help you one bit?
Well, how is it going to help? I wouldn't even put this podcast up on the podcast network tomorrow. It's Memorial Weekend. We'll just skip the week. How about that?
Yeah, we'll just skip it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Regardless of, you know, hell or high water, you know, programming, you have to be consistent. At least, you know, in our program, we at least put it out every week. Sometimes, depending on the pay-per-view, maybe even twice a week. But, you know, we definitely go at least once a week.
But in fairness to her, that was their decision, I'm betting.
Oh,
well, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that they were like, can you put on a pay-per-view or something? Or they have too much control, and man, this is bad business as usual.
Well, it is speculative. We don't know that to be true. We don't know how much control the network does have. We can only speculate, which is the beauty about any type of podcast and the fact that we do speculative analysis. But wow.
Okay, but here's the truth. They would have never changed their date having 6 weeks. They taped for 2 months in advance. I knew Kurt Angle was winning the title long, long, long time ago. Why you would never want to change your date if it conflicted with all the shows you had taped or when you're going to run a pay-per-view. That's the first pay-per-view they've run in forever. They're going to try to run. It will bomb. I guarantee it. You know, don't tell me Ethan Carter's a main eventer or Eric Young. I'm through believing that because you don't have enough of an audience. Their main eventers are the Hardy Boys, who are already over, Kurt Angle, who is already over, and the American Wolves, who were pretty much already over from Ring of Honor. They haven't made any new stars. They don't have enough people watching. It's sad. I don't want the company to fold. I think back to the glory days, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Kazarian when he was more on top, you know, a guy they haven't treated very well in the last couple of years, Kazarian. And I wonder, you know, what has happened? And I can only put blame on probably my least favorite person in wrestling is Hulk Hogan. And I would put a lot of this on him because he just absolutely, as usual, derailed their company for years. And then they had to start from scratch at the bottom, as usual. And he changed everything TNA was. Change the ring, change the main eventers. I got AJ Styles coming out cutting a promo. I don't know if anyone out there has seen AJ Styles in New Japan. He doesn't need to cut a promo. He's just great. Sometimes your world champion can just wrestle good matches like Dory Funk Jr. did. You know, so there's a place for everyone in the card. So I'll blame a little of that on Hogan, Bischoff regime. Bischoff, who's now suing the company for $114,000 of back pay, which owes more credence to the idea that this company's not paying people. So,
yeah, they wouldn't talk about it on the JR podcast with good old Taz this past week. That's for sure. Let's avoid that at all costs. You know, I really want the best for TNA. I'm pulling for Dixie Carter. I believe that it has been a learning experience. As she said, you know, it's never easy to try to start a company. And I will put this spin on the legacy of TNA. I know that they're not over yet. There's a lot of things that can happen between now and September. However, for a TV show that has run from meager beginnings, from weekly pay-per-views to now, it's lasted longer than most network television shows.
Right.
Okay. They've had network changes. You know, they went from pay-per-view to Fox, Fox to Spike, from Spike to Destination America. You know, people are loyal and passionate. The baseline of viewers that have watched TNA, that still continue to watch TNA, like you and I, we still watch it. That's still saying something. Barely. That's still saying something, you know? Wrestling fans are anything but unloyal. You know, I mean, we passionate wrestling fans love the product and we want to see people succeed. And in our heart of hearts, even yours, Mr. Black as Night, soul, Mr. Wrestling Mark, heel commentator. Black as Night. Yeah, you used to say something like, my soul is black as coal or something like that. I don't know what you said. You said something.
It is black.
Yeah, it's like, certainly, you know, charcoal. It's like a briquette. Of course, I don't believe that. But
no, you know I'm a good guy.
You are a good guy. We just want the company to succeed. There's a lot of good people that work there. And all we want is for that talent to succeed because we believe in people. You know, we believe in that talent. And you've let a lot of the good talent go, and that's unfortunate. Bad move, but you live and you learn.
Here's a personal story, and it just so happens, folks out there that living in Nashville is so great, you just happen to run into a celebrity waiting to cross the street. It's just great.
It's true.
Faith Hill sees my wife. She goes, "Hey, Terry, how you doing?" You know, things like that just happen when you live here. Al John's met, 200,000 celebrities? And it came to a point where Dixie Carter got to know my wife and I, and she came in where I was working at the time and asked me, she says, "You seem like you know a lot about wrestling. You're a big fan of my show." And I said, "I sure am. I've been watching for, you know, several years." She says, "Well, what would you change about the TV product?" I said, "Okay." I'm like, I can't believe I get to answer this question. It's like my whole life is built to this moment, right?
Right.
I said, "Push Samoa Joe. He's homegrown, over, he's awesome, and people like him." She said, "Well, we do push him. He has the TV title." I said, no, all the way. Push him all the way. And then the next time, someone she knew came in, and I said, "I have a great idea for her. Just pass it by. Bring in Steve Regal somehow. Samoa Joe, Steve Regal, have a match on TV that turns into a shoot, it appears. Then when you bring in those MMA, Bellator, UFC, whoever they are guys, they can have shoot fights mixed in with normal fights." They did this in G1 in Japan. I said, "It'll totally change the concept of your business that Samoa Joe will actually be working, but strong style." And I thought, you know, something like that. You know, I had my opportunity in the sun. And that was what I said, push Samoa Joe and be strong style, because I felt like they had to do something different. And it couldn't have been any different than that. Not that I was right. You know, obviously they need TV ratings. They needed things to go up. They needed revenue to come in. But what did I see last night on my internet screen? Samoa Joe facing off with Kevin Owens, a Ring of Honor talent mostly. And the pop was huge. The crowd was shaking. Just a stare down. And what did we want after seeing a pretty darn good NXT takeover show? What did we want? We wanted to see Owens and Samoa Joe fight over the NXT strap. Now the legitimate number two brand strap.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You stole my thunder. No, that's good.
Sorry, bro.
That's good. No, that's good. You're absolutely right, Steven. You know, I think a lot of what happened to TNA was the lack of finding a clear, not motivation. A personality.
Yeah.
It was a promotion that was looking for itself and never quite found it. And sometimes it would be WWE Lite. Sometimes it would be hard hitting Ring of Honor. You and I both agree, and this is leading to our match of the week.
Oh yeah.
Okay. That in 2005, TNA was badass. It was so badass. And, you know, so I would say 2003 to 2006 were some awesome years for TNA. The DVDs and pay-per-views that would put out were amazing. Lockdown was a great pay-per-view.
The Best of Samoa Joe was a great one.
Yeah. Best of Samoa Joe. You had Destination X, which was like one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time for years and years and years.
Yep.
Because, you know, when they would have the, you know, kind of the TNA World Cup of Wrestling kind of, you know, type of New Japan style cup type of tournaments were great. Where did that go? In their quest to be all things to all people and getting in the regime of Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff, they lost their way.
Yep.
And as you say, they never found their way back. And that is a horrible lesson to learn. And when they had the opportunity to rebrand and they didn't, that was another horrible way to learn. Dixie was quoted as saying, "We still have equity left in TNA." Really? How is that brand working for you?
Not one ticket sold.
It didn't work. How is that brand working for you? Isn't it a great opportunity with a new network to rebrand? Wouldn't it be a good thing?
Yeah.
When things don't work and you have to start again, make it a clean start. Because there is no equity left. There was no name recognition. If there was name recognition, don't you think people would be tuning in and the numbers would be growing?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Our match of the week is going to be Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels in what would be the match of the year in 2005, TNA Unbreakable. It goes down in the history books as one of the best matches ever in the entire wrestling annals of history. It's one of the best matches ever. Mr. Stephen Anthony, that has been one of my favorite matches of all time.
Maybe the best TNA match ever. Samoa Joe in his prime. Christopher Daniels at his prime at wrestling. AJ Styles at his prime. TNA, very much an original thing. TNA creating something all their own. I know these were Ring of Honor guys, but creating something all their own. A unique main event, different from Vince's show at the time, which was promoting, Batista and John Cena as their two champions. And they were distinctly different. Be yourself in life, with your company, with anything, with your band, with your music, whatever you are, just be yourself is the lesson. You try to bring in Bischoff and Hogan, they're going to squash. They just destroy everything. They look at everything Hulk Hogan has done since 1994. Unless he was involved with Vince McMahon, who can rein in this guy? He's the only guy that control Hulk Hogan. Nobody can control the guy, you know?
Well, it's like everything else. I believe that there are people that have great creative ideas, but unless they have the yin to that yang,
yep,
the creative process is very one-sided. And you can take credit for a lot of things that happened during your heyday, Mr. Hogan.
Sure.
I'll give you that. But does that necessarily mean that your way is going to be the right way for everyone all the time?
He never pinned Dick Bockwinkle, not once.
And there you go. I don't know. You know, and it's still shrouded in mystery. Whenever you listen to Dixie or Eric Bischoff, even Vince Russo,
right,
in his discussions with TNA, they're always really nebulous as to who was in charge, who did this, who did that. And it's another thing. No one's accountable. If no one's accountable for the mistakes that are made, except for Dixie Carter, I guess she had said some things saying, ultimately, it all stops with me. And I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that. But you look at the rest of creative and they say, well, I was only around for this segment and I wasn't really here for this and I didn't have anything to do with that. So what the hell did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do? I tell you what you did. You led this promotion to, you led it to where it is today.
A substantial drop off somehow. Yeah. Ow.
Well, we could spend an entire show talking about this, but I'd rather hear from you. If you would like, please leave a comment, leave a message, call our hotline, leave us an email, prowrestlingcast@gmail.com. Leave us a message on our Facebook and let us know what you think about TNA. Where did it go wrong? How can they? Okay, let's embrace solutions, as John Taffer would say. Let's embrace solutions and not the problem, you know? So how does TNA recover?
I told her.
I don't know.
Push Samoa Joe.
Push Samoa Joe.
I told her already. What more can I do? I talked to Dixie Carter and I told her.
We are going to talk more about Samoa Joe later in the show.
Right.
TNA news is already, that's probably the big TNA news. Let's move on.
Go ahead. Garrett Bischoff is in the lawsuit with, Eric Bischoff and Jason Hervey, who he, I guess, became Bischoff's friend and never stopped. That Jason Hervey dude from the Wonder Years.
Forever. Jason Hervey. Have you ever met Jason Hervey?
No, sir. Huge fan.
Nice guy.
I saw him. I'll tell you one thing. He was ringside during the Terry Funk, Ric Flair, I Quit match. And anybody ringside for that match is my friend. Okay. you must be into some good shit. I think Terry Funk went up and attempted to chop him. And he was like, hey, buddy. You know, that Terry Funk working the shoot. Garrett Bischoff's contract with TNA is within the lawsuit. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
$26,000 a year base, $500 a match. I'm no mathematician, but that sounds like $30,000 a year, right?
Yep.
Okay. Just throwing that out there.
No one's getting rich working for TNA.
Yeah, I mean, so. I don't know about you, but $30,000 ain't going to cut it, you know? I mean, it's okay. But, you know, if you got to travel and I don't know, boy, I'm a little concerned that I've heard about the $500 a match thing. And I think indie guys can probably do that. But, hey, you know what? Let's just stop talking about it because you have Global Force Wrestling, you have Ring of Honor, you have Lucha Underground in the United States. So, you know, one of those three will become the new number two, or maybe one already has.
Number three.
Yes, sorry.
Depending on how you look at things. You're right. They do have the possibility. The Rising may be rising somewhere else. We'll just have to see what happens with TNA in the months to come. But it is an interesting story, and we will stay on top of it here.
Sure.
Before we move on, let me go ahead and say this. Once again, we are broadcasting live via Google Hangouts, straight to YouTube, as well as iTunes and Stitcher Radio. A lot of different ways for you to check out our show, Pro Wrestling Cast. We would love for you to visit our website at prowrestlingcast.com because we love sharing our fandom with you. Not only can you check out our archived shows, but you can also support the show by clicking on our Fandango link, by purchasing movie tickets, shopping on Amazon, and our affiliate at High Spots. If you dig shoot videos, we talk about shoot videos all the time on this program. What you need to do is check out ProWrestlingCast.com and click our link to High Spots, as they have thousands upon thousands of downloadable video that you can stream and download as you wish. You can check out thousands of shoot videos from the WWE divas and former divas to the superstars of yesterday like Ric Flair and superstars of today like Kevin Steen / Owens, you know, so he's there quite a bit with his unruly mouth.
You always know them by their first names that you knew them by. Isn't it funny like that?
That's right. Or Brian Danielson, Bryan.
I call him the American Dragon. That's a little American Dragon dude. He's fucking scary.
So be sure to check out and click our High Spots link and support this show so we can bring it to you for free every single week. And we do appreciate that. And you can't teach that. Let's move on. WWE news. WWE Payback, for me, was a pretty good show. I thought that was better than the last event. We were still trying to get over WrestleMania. I thought it was a large improvement. I thought from the front to the back, the show was really good. Steven, what is your thoughts on WWE Payback and all of its results?
Marginally better than Extreme Rules.
Yes.
The Sheamus match was better than Extreme Rules because it went a little longer. The New Day match was actually not as good as Extreme Rules, but it was basically as good. Xavier Woods remains my new favorite wrestler on WWE. Yeah, we know who my real favorite wrestler is from New Japan, Nakamaki. But Xavier Woods, during the match, the crowd chants, "This is awesome," as is their want. Generally they do it during a match. It's not even that awesome, I find. And they go, "This is awesome." And Xavier Woods is on the outside. Camera pans to him and he goes, "We're well aware of that."
Okay, I love that.
He's funny. And also a point where he wanted to enter the match because it's a 2 out of 3 falls. And in one of the other falls, he wanted to enter into the match and he screams, "Freebird rules! Freebird rules!" which, you know, he's just great. You know, it's like he watches the show and analyzes. He's very bright. His psychology.
I love
it.
Well, he's a bright guy anyway. I mean, you know, he's a Professor X, right?
So he should have a master's degree within the year, from what I understand. So, you know, this ain't no Ox Baker. This is a, you know, this is a bright, bright young man. Young man, he's probably my age. what else happened? Bray Wyatt did a senton on Ryback. That's about all I can say about that match. I don't know what happened, but I kind of felt like he crushed his ass. Ryback looked legitimately concerned. it almost looked like he took a stutter step off the apron, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. And then he kind of went kind of soft, and he hit him, man, right in the sternum rib area. The match was pretty long. Ryback continues to be secretly a Jay Brown. Secretly.
You don't think that feud is going to extend past Payback?
No, they're going to. Well, no, he'll probably be one of the first two guys to job in Elimination Chamber. I'll tell you that. We'll get to that later. But I'll skip over the Cena match for a second because I'll do that one second to last. Neville beat Barrett in a very strange countout loss. Neville is you know, being de-pushed to some degree, I can tell. You know, if you'd want, you could call that Operation Dumbo Drop. Let's see, what else is going on? I'm so sorry. I am so fucking sorry.
That was a holdover from last week, man.
I was waiting on it.
It just lends itself well to that. Hey, internet, you can thank me. Neville, you can beat my ass up later, because you have to admit, it's kind of funny.
Well, look. Hey, look.
And by the way, I hate Finn Balor.
Hey, yeah, me too. No, look, I love Kevin Owens. I love Hideo Itami. I love Finn Balor. Why the fuck do I have to just love Neville too? I'm not going to do what the internet wants. I'm so sorry. He's got four moves, and that's it.
Hey, Neville, I like you.
I'll take you on, bud. I'd straight up fight you if I saw you with a shirt on, because I wouldn't know that you're all shredded.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even know.
And then the trick's on. Yeah, then the hoax is on you. Then.
Yeah, I'm 6'1", 235, just like John Cena, except for the part I got flab everywhere. I'm one of those fat, tall guys. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm one of those. I'm a short, stout guy. So hey, how about that?
Hey, it don't matter.
Hey, look, man.
We're all good.
Naomi and Tamina versus the Bella Twins.
Gave them no time. Gave them nothing.
Well, they ended up getting the main event. They ended up getting the main event.
Main event?
What are you Raw. The last match, technical match of the show.
I mean, was even not on the match, brother. I mean, come on, that one.
I'm just saying that's technically the last victory. Match of the show.
Hey, I want them. that match wasn't their fault. You know, they gave them 6 minutes. They probably cut him down from 10 to 6 because that Cena Rusev match went on for years. You know, I heard a lot of people dissing the Cena Rusev match online. They're saying it was whatever. I actually thought it was really good, because I thought there was no way they were going to entertain me a fourth time. I've already done with this feud. I didn't really like it to begin with, the matches. This, to me, was the best match of the four. Lana Agreed. Did her quasi-turn. There are lots of really... I mean, you have to have a gimmicky match. This is what Extreme Rules should have had. If this would have been an Extreme Rules and there would have been the blow-off, that would have been better. But, you know, they have their plans and they stick to them, which is fine. Good match. I really thought it was really good. It wasn't like a Ricky Steamboat Ric Flair match, but it was fine. You know, they did the best of what they could.
You can always judge. You can always judge a pay-per-view event by a match that you think is a barn burner that will stand the test of time. For example, Unbreakable 2005 3-way. Right. You know,
that's the time.
That's right. So, however, I will say this: the main event, Rollins, Orton, Ambrose, Reigns. Well, not bad, and had some interesting moments.
Definitely. Okay, better than the Orton-Rollins cage match maybe from the month before. I mean, that's debatable, but they certainly loaded this up with stuff. They had the Shield reunion spot, which was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Ambrose as number four babyface now that Bryan's gone. He's been, you know, number five babyface is a tough spot on any wrestling promotion because you're like on the cusp of losing it. But now that Bryan's hurt, he's the clear number four behind, you know, Cena, Orton, and Reigns. And he's doing a great job, and he's going to have the main event at Elimination Chamber. And I thought he was really good in this match. I thought he did a really good job. The only thing I would have probably said it was, I probably would have said it was a 4-star match, on par with the, let's say, the Reigns Bryan match from the February pay-per-view. But, you know, that the ending just was very weak because he just, Rollins doesn't do a good pedigree. And I think, I know they're building up, obviously, from this to Rollins versus Triple H, probably at some point in the future, and that will be extremely good. But he needs to do the pedigree a little better than that, because he had so many fast things happening that looked like finishes. To finish it off with a weak pedigree just kind of left me flat. So I couldn't quite go awesome on it. But a marginal thumbs up, a little better than Extreme Rules. The Ascension match in the pre-show sucked, just like I told you it would. And that's about all I got on that. I was surprised by it. They tried harder. I will say that.
Yeah, interesting to see him whip out that pedigree, and he's used it several more times, you know, instead of the curb stomp, which that's I'm gone. Okay with. Yep, that's gone, and I'm okay with it. You know, obviously Triple H is okay with it, but needs to work on that pedigree.
Yeah, just know? Not strong enough. Just nope, that's a hard move to do. You know, you have to have it very well timed. It looks kind of fake and weird if you do it bad. And then if you do it really stiff, you can break the guy's neck. There's a clip somewhere you could probably find of Triple H doing it one of the first couple of times on TV to a jobber. It looks like he about breaks this guy's head. I mean, it can be a very dangerous spot, and I'm sure Rollins is trying to be safe. But yeah, this eventually will lead to some friction between Rollins and Triple H, and probably a fucking awesome match. So yeah, looking forward to that at some definitely point.
But you know, Payback as a whole, I thought it was better than the last event. Extreme Rules was decent. This one edged it out overall, and I was happy at the overall result. I didn't, you know, I might watch it again. And how about you, sir? What was your overall thought on this pay-per-view?
Marginally better, but you know, I would like to promote what you said. It's whether or not you would I rewatch this? Would I watch it again? Would I watch that match again? When I think about matches this year that I'd watch again, I think about the WrestleMania main event. You know, I think about the ladder match at Mania, probably. I think about the Triple H Sting match, the main event of the February pay-per-view, the three-way match at Royal Rumble. I haven't seen anything the last two pay-per-views that made me feel like I really wanted to watch it back. You know, I didn't see that this time. The main event came closest of anything the last two pay-per-views, but maybe at Elimination Chamber that will change. You know, we'll have
and
to
you see I and I think that really is the really big way, or the way I would judge any type of wrestling match or pay-per-view event, is the rewatchability.
Right.
Because that's what we all do. You know, we like to relive those moments, those classic moments. And I can't tell you how many times I've watched a Destination X, or let's say, you know, yeah, or even the Unbreakable match. I mean, I've watched that a few times already. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing stuff, you know? So that's always a good gauge. I think this one edged out the last pay-per-view, and there may be a match or two I might watch again. So it's not bad in my book. Is it memorable? Will it stand the test of time? Probably not, you know, but we have another pay-per-view coming, Elimination Chamber, so we'll see how that works.
This one looks better, I think.
I think it does, too. I think what they really did do in the end result of this pay-per-view is they're establishing their baby faces, trying to establish their heels, reignite the tag team division, and moving forward, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to, you know, they're establishing some new stars. They're making sure that the table is set, and hopefully they understand that this whole, they really need to just have clear definitions of people's roles moving forward. Yeah. Who is babyface? Who can I cheer for? Who can I diss and boo? Who do I dislike to the bitter end? That's what you need to decide, WWE, you know? That's what you really need to decide, you know? And it's clear that you want the Bellas to be faces, okay? It sucks how you're doing it, but at least we know that for sure.
Well, you know what? If I were the Divas on that show, I would be real worried about my job right now with what NXT guys are doing. Because you want to talk about Charlotte, Sasha Banks, all the Bayley, all those people. When they come up on the main roster, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about
the thing is, if you're going to give Divas a chance, put them on SmackDown for Christ's sake and give them some awesome matches, you know?
Well, okay, I hear you. I think we'll see the Divas get... Let me just go ahead and say this. A big clap to Triple H for NXT. You know, he really has done an amazing job. You know, he has created the number two promotion in the country out of thin air with a completely different type of show. And he's created four... You know, Divas that will be main eventers, and they really will give Divas a chance. Sasha Banks had a 20-minute match last night, Wednesday night, that fucking blew me away. Best match in the card. You know, their Divas matches main event cards. You know, so he does give Divas a chance in the way that he should give them a chance, you know.
And Stephanie was looking on and was prouder than hell.
Next to that dude from Game of Thrones.
That's right.
That dude is big.
That dude could be a wrestler.
You might be Game of Thrones, but you want to talk about a heel? That guy's a monster. But we'll see if
I've hung out with Chris Sonaran for a while, and he's a big guy too. Hodor is a big dude.
Oh, you hung out with Hodor?
Yeah,
that's a hell of a show, man. We could talk all day about that too, but we won't. You want to talk about a show with baby faces and heels?
Jeez. Yeah, you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. Talk about clearly defined. We're gonna circle back to NXT. Holy crap! What did I just do?
Let's talk about Ethan Carter's intricate push to the top.
That's EC3 might be coming back to WWE. We'll see what happens. So
probably not. They don't like TNA guys. That's another bad thing about that we never brought up. They don't like when guys go to TNA. When they send out feelers, real quick. When they send out feelers because they knew something was going on, the word got back, we don't like TNA guys. Not good. Ring of Honor time. New Japan time.
They better go Honor
global
time.
Or global. Hammer time.
It's They'll Hammer
sign
time.
MC Hammer before they sign Ethan Carter back.
So let's go ahead and talk about Raw. One of the things of the highlights for me from this past Monday night's Raw is what in the blue hell are they doing with Ziggler and Lana? I'm just going to put it out there.
All right. I have some inside information.
Okay. Inside information. Go for it.
I have a friend that works at the airport. Okay. Now, the inside info, Al John, is that Rusev plays his heel character all the time. The other inside info is that Lana wears a lot of makeup. And the other bit of inside info that has nothing to do with the airport is that, you know, they're not going to turn her babyface, because they wouldn't have done it this way. What I think they're doing is having Dolph look like a jack-off. You know, so like a girl comes up to you and kisses you and then you're just, that's it? You know, I think Lana is going to return and stay with Rusev and probably have the IC belt that he'll win at the chamber. Is Ziggler in the chamber match? He sure is. Great. Yeah.
Right.
We'll see her return.
I agree.
Yeah. It's not yet. Not just yet.
Yep.
The crowd was doing the Seminole chant on her. Did you hear that? It was real low.
That's what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
That is funny.
People know her and people love her. But here's the thing about Lana, which is hilarious, is that you know how Vince likes to test some things out?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't get a bigger response from that whole spot. That whole spot of, you know, her kissing him, and the reaction from the crowd was like, you know, the guys were like, hell yeah, this is crazy. And even the girls were like, this is crazy. Because girls love Ziggler. I'm sorry. Girls love Dolph Ziggler.
What girl likes Dolph Ziggler?
Apparently, chicks dig Dolph Ziggler from my research, from my impromptu polls.
I've not heard that. I don't talk to a lot of girls, though.
Well, you have to. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll put it to you like this. It was an interesting way to gauge people's reaction to things.
Right. It got a good reaction. It got a
great reaction. Yeah.
Even with lowly Dolph being involved, but they wouldn't turn her baby face to put her with Dolph. That's just not their plan for her. I also might want to point out she lives 15 miles from where I'm sitting right now.
What?
She lives 15 miles away from me.
Oh, she does. Yes.
On the Ridge.
Are you stalking her? Is that how you know? Has she been? Has she seen you at work? Have you sold her? Did you sell her a suit? I'm just joking.
I'd love to.
She's great. I mean, the heels and the legs don't quit. Yes, she does wear a lot of makeup, but I'm okay with that because I've seen her without makeup and she's still hot. So okay.
Well, that's what this airport guy was telling me. I haven't seen her.
Yeah, she doesn't wear a lot of makeup.
He said she wears a lot of makeup, man. And I'm like, whoa, what? This is like breaking news. Yeah, you know, I thought it was obvious.
Look at her on TV. My God, you know, she's made up like a doll. But you know, but that's cool.
She's awesome. She's going to be huge in the coming year. She's going to be such an over baby face in the next year that it won't be with Dolph. It won't be this way. I suspect. Let me look at the chamber here. And I'm still talking about Raw, so don't worry. We got Sheamus, Ryback, Jobber, R-Truth, Quasi-Jobber, Dolph Ziggler, King Baird with his fake push, and Rusev. Okay, so the only two guys they really are pushing in that group, Barrett slightly, but not really. Sheamus, they push a lot, and Rusev, they push a whole lot. Because he only jobs to John Cena. But he doesn't take pinfall losses to John Cena. If you think about it, he has not lost by pinfall except... No, he hasn't. Didn't he tap out at Mania, or did he get pinned? He tapped out, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So he's never been pinned. Okay, so Rusev, Sheamus is the only two I see here. But Rusev has an ongoing angle with Ziggler, and Lana will be the Elimination Chamber. So I see R-Truth getting pinned first. I see Ryback getting pinned pretty early. Barrett gets lost in the melee. Sheamus gets eliminated by Ziggler. And then it's Ziggler, Rusev. Lana turns on Ziggler. Rusev wins the IC strap and takes up that mantle and moves in a different direction. That's what I see happening. I think that's pretty clear. Now, they may change it now that I said that because my idea is so brilliantly close to theirs. But who knows? Who knows, Al John?
It's an interesting thing when it comes to Ziggler, I'm just going to say, because I knew that Ziggler had been paired with so many women over the course of his career. And I'm talking about storyline-wise, okay? This is not his personal life.
Not Amy Schumer.
So looking at his run in the WWE, you've got Maria, Vicky Guerrero, AJ Lee. I mean, holy smokes, man. You know, and it's always been a kind of romantic thing with him. He's always been like a leading man.
Okay.
And it's an interesting character how they've painted him to be.
Yeah.
A leading man, and he's always paired with a leading woman.
Yeah.
Interesting way. And I would say either way, the woman has always kind of helped him get over. So
Nevermore in this case. I mean, this is an over girl.
If he gets paired even in the short term with Lana, that could mean gangbusters for his character. I mean, it's just I don't know, man.
Or he looks like a goof.
Yeah, or he could look like just more of a Jay Brown. You know, we'll just have to see what happens. Ultimately, it's going to make Rusev look bigger, I think. You know, as this kind of circles back around, I think you're going to see that as he gets screwed out of a championship, it's going to favor Rusev in the end. So
I think Rusev will come out looking okay from this whole thing. You can't go wrong with four main events with John Cena, one of them WrestleMania, basically the co-main event of every pay-per-view. The sky's over. You know, it's funny, you were talking about Raw. We're talking about experimentation. One match that I really thought was an interesting experimentation was Neville versus Bo Dallas. Neville versus Sheamus, right?
Yes.
Is that the match? Okay. And no, it was Barrett. It was Barrett, right? Am I getting that wrong? Point of the match is that
Neville and Bo Dallas.
Right. The match that they did prior to that, Neville is selling his leg, his knee, and he did not do his typical match. He also cut a promo right before the match. Okay. Now, to me, this was a test. What does it sound like when Neville cuts a promo, and can Neville do a different type of match that he does every week? And
that's right.
To me, you know, the crowd was flat on both, heavy. You know,
flat as they were for the reveal of the IC champion under a championship belt under the tablecloth.
I was waiting for him to play the play the Price is Right thing. Dun, 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 dun.
I know I can't do the sound effect tonight, but
I wish I'd have been in the show and I'd have said, "Oh, what you got there? Is that the IC belt?" Like, what was the point? What were we supposed to do? Like, whoa, it's his belt. I already saw it. Give up the belt. But, you know, that goes along with their idea that they're pushing the belts hard, and they should, but that didn't obviously work well. You know, everything that you come up with won't work. But, hey, look, ratings were way up. They were hit around the 4 million mark. Every time, I hate to tell you, internet people, and I don't give a shit about it either, but every time Stephanie McMahon with Triple H is on that show, at about 300,000 viewers. That's just what happened. Right. That's the natural ratings pattern. Universal even points that out. They said, please don't stop the Authority. We're into that. They get ratings. We notice. You know, yes. So Stephanie was great to see her back. A wonderful, wonderful heel. Definitely the top heel on the show for me. Best promo in the business with Heyman, you know, really, really very mean to the crowd. You know, good at making it seem like she's talking good, and then she kind of swerves in the midst of a sentence kind of stuff with the crowd to get heat. Old school stuff, very Vince, like good stuff. And we have a new little storyline to some degree. At least they've slightly changed gears here with Ambrose and Rollins. So Ambrose pinned by Wyatt at the end of the show. He got his pin back on the SmackDown tapings. That'll air Thursday night or whenever it airs. And they should put Lucha Underground, SmackDown, and NXT on at the exact same time so my brain can explode. They should really do that on Wednesday night to me. That would be funny. And TNA. Just like all four at the same exact moment. And anyway, Ambrose will get a title shot. I'm assuming he'll lose to Rollins. Again, this guy has gone a long way since getting cut up with Sawzalls and CZW as John Moxley. He's now in the main event for the title, Elimination Chamber match. And I'm very proud of the guy, man. He's made it a long way. You know, I think it has a little bit to do with Daniel Bryan getting hurt maybe, but, you know, he's made it a long way. And he would actually be a good IC champion, but I think they have bigger plans for him than that belt. So looking forward to that match. No Orton, no Reigns on the show. Interesting. Gave him the night off, literally.
That is interesting. But you know what? The night of experimentation. That's what it's all about, trying to see what would work and giving people a chance. It's always interesting to see these type of shows happen, you know. And by the way, did you notice they got rid of Bo Dallas's goatee?
Yeah, so that's over. So Haven? Expect a back and forth feud with Neville. And, you know, you don't need me to put down Neville. They're shooting him down the card. You know, they had a good feud in NXT. But
I think, you know, in this NXT movement that's going on, I think they may be wanting to recapture a little bit of that NXT match excitement as they try to fill in blanks between key storylines. And this is the way to do it. If you're gonna wow audiences, and this could be a really big reintroduction to Bo Dallas that people have been waiting for. And this could really show off, you know, what Neville is willing to do in the ring, which is, you know, give all of his body to everybody and just have some of those barn burner matches from NXT. Now that those championship matches were something else, and worth revisiting on the WWE Network. So
absolutely.
So I believe that is kind of what's in short order there, you know, because look, there is a lot of time between here and SummerSlam.
Yep.
And to do that,
three maybe.
And to figure out how that's going to work and how to integrate this new talent, they have to be able to have these ongoing, you know, these ongoing rivals. And I think that's the other thing for me that keeps me going from week to week is seeing how these rivalries shape up. I think WWE has been doing a pretty decent job of not just flipping the script every week and throwing stuff to see what's hit. I think they're trying their best to try to fine tune things with characters and placement that we're talking about casting, if you will, as well as, you know, putting together strings of matches with people that make sense. And this may be a good opportunity for them to see what these NXT guys are made of and how they can entertain a crowd.
Yeah.
And the experimentation. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt defeating Bray Ambrose, Dean Ambrose.
What a weird match that was.
It was weird, man. It was weird.
Been drinking.
But I have to love Dean Ambrose's all night Dean Ambrose. Just the best lines of the whole. Whatever happened to you, Kane? You used to be the devil's favorite demon, and now you're just the devil's favorite butler, you know, or just something like that. That was glorified just an amazing line. Glorified butler.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Kane and Ambrose having a match at a pay-per-view down the line. A night of great experimentation, just like Triple H talked about in his NXT conference call. Like, you know, we're going to experiment for the rest of the year and then next year figure it out. Bright move, and I think they need to kind of do that with Raw. You know, to be honest, the more I see Triple H's imprint on the more I think we're going to be okay, the more I think they're going to go in a direction the fans want. I think he's better at listening to the fans, and I think he seems to be a much easier guy to deal with backstage once you get over the fact that it's Triple H. It's like, well, it's Triple H, it's the boss. You know, he seems to have his finger on the pulse of what wrestling is. If he didn't have his finger on the pulse, then NXT would be sort of like a glorified Ohio Valley Wrestling, which wasn't bad at all, by the way, or Smoky Mountain or Florida Championship Wrestling. The Florida Championship Wrestling in the 2000s, not the great shit with Kevin Sullivan, but, you know, which was fucking awesome if you ever get to catch it on YouTube, guys. But he has made a promotion that's legitimately more cheered than Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Somehow, with better workers. So, that's debatable. But he has his finger on the pulse. And the number two promotion is going to be a promotion like NXT. I'm getting off track here about experimentation and Raw, but
no, it's cool because let's
talk about Kevin Owens on Raw.
Well, we're getting to that. I think you're absolutely right. Let's continue on this path really quick. Cesaro, Tyson Kidd, love that tag team New Day. We talked about it briefly. I think that's just going to continue to be great. And of course, NXT, we have Kevin Owens confronting John Cena in what would be the second highlight of the night.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Owens is ready. You know, if you want to tour NXT a little bit, you probably should keep the belt on Owens and have him tour. But, you know, I like the idea of Cena versus Owens for the U.S. belt. And then maybe check this out. Cena versus Owens for the NXT belt. Something weird like that, you know. just get weird. Just get weird with it. And
can you imagine John Cena as NXT champion? That's not going to happen.
I've seen the jobbing to Hideo Itami on NXT, and I'll give you $100,000.
Got it. Of my own money.
Yeah, of my own money. Yeah, Tommy's going to be out about 4 to 6 months. Looks like rotator cuff. Really hard to come back from that, but he's a tremendous wrestler, so I'm not worried.
He does have some mileage on him, though. I mean, he's not a spring chicken.
They weren't playing around in pro wrestling, Noah. You know, if you've never seen Japanese wrestling out there, you know, these guys don't play. Nope. You know, he did a lot of the strong style. My favorite wrestler currently, Shinsuke Nakamaki, the king of strong style, the lover of Freddie Mercury. You know, he's my age now, and he probably can't go another year or two. And Itami, Kenta, whatever you want to call him, his time is running out. You know, he needs to do something now because those guys kick each other in the face so fucking hard for 20 years that you can't take much more, you know? Right. So anyway, I'm off track. Kevin Steen, who's I think had some good matches with Nakamaki, really looked like a true main eventer right out of the gate. He's very fat. He looks different. He's French Canadian. He has a sly, smart ass way of talking. He's different from the Chippendales dancer lookalikes that we usually get on this show too much. That's another thing Trips is kind of integrated. He's made guys look a little different from one another finally.
Yep.
Cena keeps running over people. He ran over Zayn, you know, who was very valiant in his effort with the shoulder issue. He, you know, he had good matches with Neville, but he never got pinned. So now we have a guy that maybe will actually pin him. And I think it would behoove their business for Owens to not lose clean because they're getting to a point where NXT guys come up and get and job clean. But, you know, you got Finn Balor, Owens, that can come up anytime. You got Sasha Banks, Charlotte, that can come up anytime and be main event. Man, you want to talk about number four, number five, babyface. You're talking about number seven, number eight. We have a huge roster now.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good. It's good. Really quick, worth mentioning, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan still continuing to, you know, brother up and partner as they defeat Fandango and Zack Ryder. I'm not going to spend time on it, but it's worth mentioning. Last, Nikki Bella defeating Naomi via disqualification with the return of the Banshee herself.
I'm the Banshee. Paige.
You're the Banshee. That's right. You are the Banshee.
I did see Paige.
Interesting to see.
Yes, I did see Paige run out there, and you know, that's all well and good. This is a holding pattern thing for me with these five, and you know, they just need to bring up the NXT gals. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it because I just you know, I'm getting kind of annoyed with it. As far as the tag teams, I think you'll see Harper and Rowan probably win the belts or vie for the belts. It's good to see primetime players are in the match. Yep. And I see on the SmackDown tapings that Lucha Dragons got a big win. So they haven't been on TV in a couple of weeks, on Raw at least. So I do not expect them to win the match. Actually, I expect New Day to retain. But I think that'll be an awesome match.
I think so, too. It's going to be a lot of fun to see, you know, it growing. I think this is exciting times. You have so much new blood and new storylines, new people entering the fray. How are the existing talent going to work with the new up and coming talent will be interesting to see how that develops. But the last piece of business we're going to see is basically Dean Ambrose muscling his way to get into Elimination Chamber, kind of, which is convoluted storytelling, by trying to pick off Seth Rollins and bring him to the cinder blocks and try to take his head out. You're going to give me my match because I'm just a line jumper and I'm going to be in there for the championship. Either that or I'm going to destroy your boy, Authority. So, Authority, what do you say? Okay, right. You can get your match. You can get your match. And then he tries taking his head off. It's just really weird storytelling. I don't think it was very effective. It's like someone missed a cue trying to save Seth Rollins or something misfired somehow. Because it didn't make too much sense.
How do you hide cinder blocks? That's the real
question. Apparently under a big black tablecloth is how you do it.
Yeah, here's what would happen, you know, where I work. I would go, "Hey, what's under that? Oh my God, it's a bunch of fucking cinder blocks over here. Hey, Jimmy, can you hurry up and take care of this?" That's how you take care of that issue. Then Jimmy comes and he takes them off.
Little Jimmy's back with the cinder blocks. Right. Well,
Ambrose gets his pinfall back on Wyatt at SmackDown. I thought we'd point that out. Obviously, this will air when SmackDown's airing soon. But
yes.
So they it was odd they beat him up after the match. But I guess the whole idea of Ambrose is he doesn't give a shit if he gets beat up. He's just nuts, and he keeps kind of like showing up like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I like his character. I've been a fan of his since he turned babyface. Actually, big fan. Mm-hmm. Of his WWE character, so.
Well, we talked a lot about NXT. You know, Raw's starting to heat up. We're starting to see things kind of move in certain directions. NXT TakeOver last night and Unstoppable. What a great show to me. One I would definitely watch again. Okay, yeah. We're talking about rewatchable. This was definitely rewatchable. Amazing entrances from the new superstars. Great stuff. If you haven't seen Finn Balor wrestle, he did. He defeated Tyler Breeze to become the number one contender for the title for
really
NXT.
Good, man.
Yeah. Yep. As you saw, Hideo Itami supposedly got written off by a parking lot, jump. He was jumped in the parking lot.
The Four Horsemen jumped him in the parking lot,
Yeah, Four Horsemen jumped in the parking lot and put his arm in a door and crushed it. And,
they hit it with
a crowbar. Yeah, hit it with a crowbar. It was over. So he's out. One of my favorites, Charlotte and Bayley teaming up. By the way, they've become frenemies, I guess. Charlotte and Bayley, they're hugging it out, defeating Emma and Dana Brooke.
Put them all on the show. Put them all.
Great match.
Man, awesome.
And once again, Emma, I love Emma. She's great. You know, I'm glad she's getting the chance to wrestle, even if she's back down in NXT for a minute. Baron Corbin defeated Rhino. Also, very good match, you know, for the up-and-comer. Not bad. Always good to see classic ECW wrestlers, you know, being utilized in this way to put over new talent, right. In my opinion. NXT Tag Team Champions Blake and Murphy defeat Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy, and you can't teach that. That's interesting, Blake and Murphy. It's good. I mean, it's good. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. But here's the match of the night. One of my favorite matches of the night. NXT Women's Champion Sasha Banks defeating Becky Lynch.
Wow.
Excitement. Excitement.
Wow. Hey, maybe the best women's match they've ever had in WWE or NXT. I don't know. Maybe I'm going too far, but I can't. Like, what would be better?
I don't know. That you make a pretty strong argument.
A different Sasha Banks match?
Sasha Banks
would be better.
Well, she is highly charismatic. Becky Lynch is a total badass, and I love the way they've been building her up in those vignettes. Her character is great. Where was she 2 years ago? You know, I mean, I'm just glad she's coming up now. Last but not least, NXT champion Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn ended in a no contest.
Interesting.
It's an interesting thing, of course, that, you know, a great, well-fought match, but the kicker of the night, the big highlight of the show, out of nowhere, Samoa Joe enters the NXT universe. Welcome to the WWE, Mr. Samoa Joe. He climbed into the ring face-to-face with Owens. He backed away. And then we fade to black, and basically setting the table for another confrontation between the Samoan suplex machine versus, did I say that right? The Samoan bulldozer.
Suplex machine.
The Samoan, I don't even know how many other bastardizations I could come up with for his nickname.
He's lost Samoan a lot of weight. Killing, he looked good.
Yeah, the Samoan killing machine.
No. Yeah, when he had the knife. 14-day garbage.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Well, he did have that knife for that period.
That was terrible. Couldn't get. Yeah,
Joe's gonna kill you. You know, they say a lot of things that too. You know, they say very similar things about Kevin Owens. But I think that the face off of the two big men, I think, was really good, and I cannot wait to see what happens on NXT. So that is in a nutshell. Definitely worth a second viewing for those of you wanting to catch up on the product. The great thing is you don't have to have watched a lot of NXT to just to follow it. Just jump right in. Unstoppable is a great starting point for you to be well on your way to falling in love with NXT. That to me, I think, is a great way to even start. If you're just starting wrestling and you're like, what is the show? What is wrestling all about? Watch NXT TakeOver and the Unstoppable. Really good show.
Great show.
Steven, I know that our time is limited. We have so much we have to talk about. Do you want to go ahead and just tee us off with some Global Force news and some news regarding Lucha Underground? Because catching up with that.
Well, Lucha Underground was great Wednesday night. Great, 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 great fucking trios match. Just go ahead and check it out. You know, I DVR the show every week. I actually watched it live last night, which was, well, no, actually I didn't. I watched it maybe an hour later.
Close to live, semi-live.
Base Joe. Close enough for me. I don't know if it helped their ratings or not, which is a talking point because Televisa, I hope I'm pronouncing Televisa right, is you know, their TV deal is up soon. Now, look, I would consider this, if you don't consider NXT a number two promotion, I would consider this a number two promotion. Lucha Underground lost a tremendous amount of money in their first season. Okay, they lost a lot of money. Now, Televisa, if they were to sign on and have partial ownership of the company, that would pencil them in for another year. They are trying to get Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio likes money. I don't know if you're aware of this. And it's really,
who doesn't?
Not that Rey Mysterio likes money. It's just like when you make $894,000 a year, you probably don't want to make, like, I don't know, $26,000 plus $500 a match like Garrett Bischoff. You're going to want a substantial payment. Well, would that not bring this show to the next fucking level? I mean,
I believe so.
Imagine Rey Mysterio fighting Prince Puma. I mean, are you kidding? Oh, good God.
King Cuerno, for that matter.
King Cuerno with his beautiful headgear.
The most Prince beautiful Puma. Headgear.
Yeah. Prince Puma had a great little match last night with The Moth. I'm quite not sure if I understand where they're going with that character, but that's fine.
Hell, I can even see Rey Mysterio starting a stable. He doesn't need to, but he could help put the new guys over, like Aerostar or Phoenix or somebody like that, to just
Every week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would just be amazing stuff. So,
and also, you know, anyway, I hope they get this TV deal. If they get the TV deal, they're good to go. If they don't get the TV deal, you know, They would do a second season of tapings in about 3 months, around SummerSlam time. So, you know, we're good for a little bit longer. It's all going to build up to a season finale. But let's just really hope this show stays on the air. As far as,
you know, by the way, I have to say, it might be interesting to see if Amazon or Netflix or Hulu decides to pick up a show like this, because seeing it on demand, you know, on some type of network would actually be a very interesting model to see, which is something that I've wanted to see TNA do, which is an online model for distribution. Yeah. Have a very light roster, have it make sense, you know, you know, partner up with a TV studio to do those type of, you know, events and do online distribution. I believe that TNA had been well on their way to doing something really cool, because they can leverage themselves in that space, using social media and YouTube to their benefit, and creating content on a really good and maybe even daily basis from their superstars, and do reality-based kind of stuff with some of the maker studio, those type of studios that do content on a daily basis. That would be an interesting model for me, and which is something I believe WWE is trying to do, and leverage that for their network. So that's a free idea there, Dixie. Maybe you should do it. I'm just saying, online distribution is happening, and it's the thing to do.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Global Force. You're moving into Global Force. Sorry about that.
Global Force is you know, I just wanted to say the Ring of Honor finished with, real quick, Ring of Honor finished with their four tapings. Again, my favorite wrestler, Nakamura, very over. They had sellouts, two in Philadelphia, two in Canada. If you have a chance to go on YouTube, check out Shinsuke Nakamura against Kota Ibushi. Five-star, incredible match. I don't know if you can find it out there. I just wanted to throw that out there. I know we're running out of time. As far as Global Force Wrestling, they've Scott Hall, I announced last week, was on the card. He had a bit of a problem at an Asbury Park, New Jersey Asbury show. Park, yeah. He showed up allegedly unable to compete, and they gave him time to allegedly sober up, and he allegedly did not. And Global, because of this, took him off of their, I guess it was two house shows in June. And lo and behold, they have signed Scott Steiner. And I guess the big news about Scott Steiner is his you know, recent promo on Hulk Hogan. He really wants to fight him. And the thing about it, all of this is this, Al John, this appears to be a shoot, an ongoing shoot with him and Hogan. It basically is Scott Steiner wants to beat up Hogan, and Hulk Hogan really just doesn't want to be around Scott Steiner. And it appears to be real. You know, he offered $1 million to...
of his own money.
Of his own money. And he said Hogan couldn't slam him. And it's your typical Scott Steiner insanity. You know, most guys, when they get older, I'm assuming Scott Steiner's 45 or 48 years old. I don't really know. You know, when guys get older, you're like, oh, you know, Ric Flair looks a little older now. Oh, you know, so-and-so looks a little older. When you see Scott Steiner come on this promo, it's like, oh, shit, it's Scott Steiner. It's that same feeling. You know, he's got on a scary leather jacket. He's got on the mail. He's throwing $100 bills.
He looks like WCW 2001, guys. That's what he's looking like. He still looks that way.
This is a legitimately dangerous person, and he wants you to know that. And I really think he would beat up Hulk Hogan, and I really think Hulk Hogan would get very beat up, and I don't think Hulk Hogan wants anything to do with it.
I think what he wants to do is draw more attention to his Scott Steiner holler if you hear me workout video parts 2 and 3, because we couldn't get enough of the Scott Steiner workout videos. So please put out more Scott Steiner workout videos. I would put this alongside DDP Yoga, along Triple H's video series any day of the week. Let me just watch Scott Steiner workout with two hoes on his back doing Papa Pump push-ups. Can I see that, please?
I believe they're called freaks. I don't believe they're...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting the Godfather's gimmick mixed up. I'm sorry. Freak. They're freaks. Freaks. Because the freaks like the peaks.
My favorite line he ever did was, all I care about is my freaks and my peaks. And I thought...
That's right.
Peaks? Are you talking about alleged things?
Anyway, that's right. They are a thing, apparently. You're going to hear Scott Steiner and his challenge, his $1 million challenge. Throwing the dollar bills, y'all.
The by Hulk the way,
Hogan as our promo of the week.
Promo of the week is a shoot. It's not.
It's a shoot.
They have nothing lined up with each other. They have nothing. They're doing no business with each other whatsoever. He told them to not let him in the building at WrestleMania because he accosted his wife in an airport. This guy is legitimately dangerous. Run for your life if this is happening to you.
I love that. It's so good. It's oh so very good.
And good for him for bringing realism back into it. He's bringing it. It's real. It's real. You know, it's bringing realism back to wrestling. It's a shadow of doubt.
It's real to me, damn it.
Yeah, well, this is real. Watch out at that airport. Stay out of the
as
airport.
As they say, when it's real, it's damn real, as Kurt Angle would say, one of the favorites of all time. I tell you what, we have had a bang-up show today. Mr. Stephen Anthony, thank you so much for joining us, as always, on the show. And once again, don't forget to interact with us. You can do so on our YouTube channel at YouTube. Just look for Pro Wrestling Cast, ProWrestlingCast.com. Subscribe to our show on YouTube as well as iTunes. Give us those 5-star reviews. Leave us comments. We'll read them on our next show. You can also comment to us on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast as well as Facebook. Plenty of stuff. Do you think TNA is done? Are their last days, are there just dead men walking? What do you think? Let us know via social media or call our hotline as well. We'd be happy to air your phone calls on our upcoming show. You can follow us at P Wrestling Cast, like I said, on Twitter. We'll have all the links to our promo of the week on the video, as well as our match of the week that includes Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, and Christopher Daniels from TNA Unbreakable 2005. Definitely worth a watch or two or three or four or five in my case, how many ever other times I've seen it. It is just one of the most awesome matches in all of wrestling history, and possibly the best match of all TNA history.
I believe Dave Meltzer actually gave it the dreaded 5-star rating. It was that good.
Yeah, it's Christopher Daniels puts his X Division championship on the line in that triple threat match.
And they do the slap spot that I love so much that Kenta Kobashi and Dr. Death Steve Williams did in Japan, which ended very poorly for one of those two gentlemen.
I tell you what, thank you so much again for supporting our show, checking out our website as well, and hopefully more heel commentaries coming up in the weeks and days to come from Mr. Stephen Anthony. On behalf of Stephen, any final words, sir, before we shut her down for tonight?
Stay evil.
Stay evil. And the glove of injustice was not pulled tonight, believe it or not. We did have a reference to the charcoal briquette. So, and we also had another reference there. If you're playing along at home, our weekly thread continues in today's show. Hulk Hogan never done it.
He did pin him at a big show in Minneapolis or Minneapolis. How do you say that? But Minneapolis. What is that?
I think it was Minneapolis.
But they reversed the decision, so that doesn't count. So he never pinned him.
If it's not in the books, it never happened. So there you go. Once again, on behalf of Steven, I am Aljon Go. Don't forget to tuck your head, and we will see you next week. Goodbye and good night.
Good night.
Promo of the week.
June 7th, Met Stadium. I got an open challenge to you, Hulk Hogan. I'm calling you out. See, your biggest claim to fame is slamming Andre the Giant. June 7th, New York City. I'm saying you can't slam me. And I'm putting up $1 million of my own money saying you can't. $100 bills, Hogan. All you gotta do is step in the ring and slam me. You don't have to beat me. You gotta slam me. But once you step through those ropes, I'm gonna beat you up, punk.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.